If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Que ven en Bing. Me llamo el Dototito que ven en Bing. Quiero decirles que el ojo que tengo bien hecho me da que ver en Bing. Mira, Tijuana, componer lo que ven en Bing. Quiero agarrarme y traigo una puta ya que ven en Bing en Tijuana para tener. Hola, papá, que ven en Bing.
What the hell?
That's a very interesting question. I don't know.
Oh, say does that our banner rock it red blare for the land of the free. And the home of the brave.
Play ball.
This is horrible. I want to go out and puke right now.
Get boarded!
There's no turning back, no matter how much we wish we could.
And now.
All right, now the moment you've all been waiting for. Lights! Music!
Our feature presentation.
Hey, boys and girls, it is the 16th of Double December.
I like boobs. Big boobs.
And inexplicably, you have tuned into the Kevin and Bean Show this morning.
Yeah, you have terrible taste.
It's your old radio pal Ralph here. Kevin and Bean have started their holiday vacation early this year.
Bastards.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Whether it was their choice or not, we're not saying. But I'm saying they're not here, so you're going to be hearing the best of Kevin and Bean this morning. Along with live show biz from me, Ralph, Lisa Mays also in the studio, Psycho Mike.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
Everybody watched that Monday Night Football game last night? Anybody catch a little of that Monday Night Football game?
I missed
game?
That, darn
I
it.
Did.
Anybody see the Monday Night Football game last
what
night?
What happened?
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles! That's what happened.
I should have known. He wouldn't bring it up otherwise.
Beat up on the Cleveland Browns last night. Somewhere, Andrew Siciliano is crying into his remote over there on the set of the Red Zone channel on DirecTV.
Did you guys have a bet or anything?
No, because he knew we were going to win. Oh. It was kind of a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, last time we talked to him, he conceded early.
Oh, really?
He said, yeah, the Eagles.
Wow, he's quite the fan.
Speaking of phone calls, we will be doing What to Do Nephew this morning. If you call in, you got something to say. If you want to talk about the game last night, you want to talk about what you got going on for the holidays coming up, anything at all, call now 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, and we'll give you a prize, and I'll tell you what that is in just a few moments. But, yeah, last night was very exciting for me because we might get in the back door of the playoffs, as they say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The back door. That's the way I like the playoffs, baby. The back door. So I was very excited.
Well, I'm happy for you,
Ralph. What were you doing, Lisa, instead of watching Monday Night Football?
Anything.
Was there a play
really
on last night in your neighborhood?
At all?
Did you put little plays on in your complex down at the rec center?
To be perfectly honest, I was watching Band of Brothers.
Ah, Band of Brothers.
I am getting that through Netflix, so I'm just on the first two episodes, and it is horrifying. Every time I watch anything about war, you know, you can't help but project yourself into that situation, and there they are. They've just landed in Normandy, and it's the scariest thing in the world. And, I mean, you can't go home. There's no home you can get to. You're stuck there. And nobody knows where anybody is. They're all scattered about. They didn't land where they were supposed to. And they're trying to read their maps and stuff. And it's just...
War doesn't seem like an orderly thing.
No,
you kind of know what you're
exactly.
doing. When you get
or fun. It
and
doesn't seem fun.
Not a lot of fun. They do. They try. They try to have fun.
Yeah.
But it's not easy.
Yeah. Regardless how you feel about war and this war in particular, you cannot help but appreciate the people who go out there and do that, who fight. It's remarkable what
it
goes
really
on
is.
With those people. And,
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, if you've never seen Band of Brothers, it was an HBO miniseries about World War II, and it's remarkable what those guys have to go through every time they're out there in the field.
Yeah.
It's one of those shows that you recommend people watch because it is great, but at the same time, I mean, it is...
It's hard to watch.
It can ruin my day. I've definitely come away from watching Band of Brothers feeling... But it also makes me appreciate, like Ralph said, all the things that people went through to make
sure
that...
And are going through now. Absolutely.
What's up with war movies, by the way? It used to be the good old days. War movies were like good-looking guys, and the Nazis were the bad guys. We always win, and it looked great and fun and stuff. Now they make them all realistic and crap and bum me out.
I
hate that. Where's the Duke? Where's John Wayne when you need him? All right, Pilgrim.
Or Norris. I used to watch Delta Force, and I would be so happy. I'd be so happy watching Delta Force because it was so kind of cartoonish, its take on the Vietnam War, but things like that. But Yeah, now Ralph's right.
Yeah, when
right.
you got to look at the enemy Bummer. Like people,
ah.
that sucks. That just
makes
ruins
so much hard to
everything.
Kill them. It makes
exactly.
them so much hard to kill them when you start thinking about those people.
And then you feel bad when they do.
That's a bad. We got to outlaw that. It's bad propaganda,
I agree.
In my
they are
opinion.
Not people.
All right, let's start taking your phone calls. Once again, it's What It Do, Nephew. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. If you get through, do have a couple lines open. Get through. We will be giving you the following. It's dinner and a movie.
Nice.
You win a dinner and a movie, including a Taco Bell Fiesta Pack.
Arriba!
That's nice. The dinner. Right there. Thank
okay.
you. Thank you, Lika Sanchez, for that. And a copy of The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, now on DVD and Blu-ray high def. Of course, The Mummy starring Brendan Fraser. A lot of people are saying this is the best of the three mummy movies. They like
I never
this one
saw
the most.
This one.
You really?
But great special effects.
Great
right?
special effects.
He sure does hate mummies.
Boy, he has bad luck with mummies because then they come alive and try to hurt him.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call in, and as I mentioned, you get a Del Taco Fiesta Pack and a copy of The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor on DVD and Blu-ray high def currently. Let's talk to Ricardo in Brea this morning. Good morning, Ricardo.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hello.
Yeah, the weirdest thing yesterday, I went to a 99-cent store, yes. and I found the weirdest thing. It was a Flaming Hot Fries.
Flaming Hot Fries?
In a bag?
Yeah.
They're in a bag?
Yeah, they're in a bag. They're the same brand, you know, Cheetos. And they're like the cheese puffs. They dissolve in your mouth when you eat them, and they have that spicy flavor.
Huh.
So this is a low rent version of Red Hot Cheetos.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you try them? Did you taste them?
Yeah. I actually bought a bag, and they're like the like I said, the cheese puffs. They mm-hmm. just pop
right.
your mouth, and they're spicy like the flaming Cheetos.
But no comparison,
crunch,
right?
Really.
No comparison.
Not comparison. Not
Cheetos
comparison.
Red. Well, that's what you get for going to the 99-cent store, Ricardo. Got to stay out of that joint. That's what I'm telling you. All right,
yeah.
man. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
We have Eric calling in from Palmdale.
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, Eric. Apparently, isn't too pleased about my my morning joy.
What?
What it do, Eric?
Well, here's the issue. I lived in California 3 years ago.
Yes, sir.
K-Rock daily, listen to Ralph piss and moan about the Eagles.
Yes, as we all do.
Or rant and rave.
I live in Dallas, Texas for 3 years. I come back. I'm fighting traffic like I used to when I lived here.
Mm-hmm.
Turn on K-Rock. Let's catch a little Kevin Beans as a Hermer while. And first thing I hear is E-A-G-L-S. Eagles, my good freaking Ralph, new team.
Yeah, Eric. That's what I'm saying. Look, what do you want me to do? That's my team. I can't just give up. I can't just stop loving them.
For all of us.
No, I can't. It's like I'm a wife in a battered marriage. I'm in a bad relationship. They keep beating me, and they keep hurting me.
You have two black guys and a broken hip at this point.
Exactly, but I keep coming back because I love him. He'll change. I love him.
You have to understand, Eric, that the Eagles fan is a rare breed. And if you haven't had a chance to be in Philly for an Eagles game, either at a sports bar or actually, you know, go catch one yourself, a lot of people don't really understand. These are diehard fans. They are, you know, fair weather. They're not fair weather friends. They're accustomed to horrible, horrible, horrible losing seasons. They're accustomed to a lot of success too. But they are not going to die. Ralph was born and raised in the Philly area, and like you said, what do you expect him to do? Just change because you've been gone for 3 years?
Psychologists have classified it as a mental illness, Eric. So it's really not my fault.
I've lived in Dallas, Texas, and watched Cowboys fans
See?
The past three.
Then you know.
Yeah, they're no better, right?
That's a rare breed of trailer park stuff dipped in.
How about them boys?
Hillbillies out there.
I hear you. So what's worse, me or them?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's a toss-up, isn't it? Well, I apologize, Eric. That's the only mention I'll give him this morning.
Hey, keep it up, guys. I plan on moving back, so it was good to hear y'all. Voices again.
Well, welcome back.
Thanks for
we
listening,
love you, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, Eric. Let's talk to, how about Jessica in Granada Hills? Let's see what's up with her this morning. Jessica?
What it do,
baby boo?
How are you guys?
Good. How you doing this morning?
Better. I woke up this morning in Granada Hills, and I had to sit in my car for half an hour and defrost it because it was covered in ice.
Jump back!
That should never happen. That did never happen here.
Wow.
That's just wrong.
It's a Christmas miracle.
No, it's a Christmas disaster.
No, isn't it nice to have really cold weather around the holidays? Doesn't it feel a little bit more festive when you've got that kind of weather?
As long as there's no ice on my car. That's why I live here. I pay to not have ice on my car.
Did you pull your ice scraper out of your trunk and start working on the windshield?
You know, I just sat in the car and froze my butt off.
Because we don't have ice scrapers, Ralph. Yeah. We don't know what to do.
When I grew up back east, you have to get your ice scraper out of your trunk and scrape the ice off the windshield.
That's debilitating cold right there, you know, where you don't know what to do. But
it is weird in Southern California to get ice on your car. That is bizarre.
I object.
It's the first time I've ever experienced ice on my car.
Well, congratulations.
I've never driven
You're no
on
longer
an icy road.
Ice version.
Yeah.
Ice virgin. icy roads suck.
Yeah. Beam was talking about yesterday.
The black
going
ice.
Up a road, and going right back down. And I was like, and he said, I've had a lot of experience. I'm thinking, I have never driven on an icy road.
You've
I have
never
no
felt
idea what to do.
More helpless than when you hit a sheet of ice when you're in your car.
It just goes wherever.
It's going
it wherever
everyone, and you're going sideways down the road. It's the most unnatural feeling you've ever had in the world. I do not miss that about the East Coast.
No.
That's for sure. How about Frank in Los Angeles? Let's see what Frank has to say. What to do, Frank?
What to do? Well, do you guys see that that President missing those two boots thrown at him?
Yeah.
We did see the footage of President Bush getting shoes thrown at his head,
Man, I didn't know if he was playing dodgeball or what, but he was just ducking one after another.
He was fast.
I was impressed by how nimble he was, how he dodged out of the way. Both times, very, very...
And I was impressed at how casual his demeanor was after. I mean, he dodged him, but he was, like, so casual, nonchalant about the thing.
He
had
sort of a goofy smile on his face the whole time.
Yeah, he was laughing, and after that, he was like, oh, let me tell you that it was a size 10. How did he know that?
I think he was trying to make a joke there, Frank.
Oh, okay.
But it was kind of humorous to see him dodging shoes.
Way more nimble than the Secret Service.
Yeah, they didn't...
Who really just stood there stunned.
They didn't really come flying out of the sidelines there like I thought they would. I think they'd be wrestling that guy to the ground.
I think that says a lot, too, about their current, you know, how they feel about the president at this point.
They got bigger fish to fry right now? Look, we got to look after Obama. We can't deal with this guy.
Whatever.
But apparently that guy got jailed. The journalist who threw the shoes, which in Iraq apparently is the ultimate insult. They have no respect for someone if you throw shoes at them, which I guess would hold true in the States, too. Someone threw a shoe at me, I wouldn't think they actually liked me very much.
I just thought it was so funny. Just hilarious.
Great way for him to go out.
Right.
With a bang. All right, Frank. Thanks, man. And let's see. Who should we go to last? How about Bill in Pacoima? Bill, what it do, man?
What it do, people?
What it do?
Congratulations, Ralph. I wanted to first congratulate you on the Philadelphia Eagles victory yesterday.
God bless you, sir. We're still on the playoff hunt.
Anything's better than what they have been playing, and it looks like the benching of Donovan McNabb really helped out.
It seems like it did shock him a little bit.
And I wanted to get your thought. Who do you think is going to win the AFC East? Because I am probably California's only Miami Dolphins fan.
You know, I'm pulling for the Dolphins.
Are you?
Yeah. They still have to face the Jets, right?
They do. It's the last game next week. We got Kansas City, and then the Jets are next week, and I think that game is going to decide the division.
That's what I was thinking, too. And I would... I'm no big Favre fan. I appreciate what a Hall of Fame player he is. But I thought what they did to Pennington at the Jets was really sort of a crappy way to treat somebody who really had been working hard for that franchise for a long time.
Right.
So
I'm glad he's having a comeback career, or, you know, comeback season. And just he's playing really consistent, which is what we need. Anything is better than last season, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I agree. It would be great to see the Dolphins get in this season. So you got me. I'm behind you there. I hope things work out for you, Bill.
Bill, the Dolphins, they rocked that one-win season last year. Was that it?
1-15.
Yeah. Oh.
And Pennington really has been a leader and turned things around
you
for them.
You can't help but root for the guy. It really is unbelievable. Like Ralph said, I mean, what happened to him leaving New York to see what he's done, it's amazing.
And that Wildcat offense has been fun to watch all season long.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
All right, Bill, good luck in the playoffs, man.
All right, guys, have a good day.
Thank Peace. You. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. We're going to take a short break, play a little music, a couple commercials, stick around, and when we do, I will return with the Showbiz Beat here on the World Famous K-Rock. Wow! Wow! Good morning!
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I want to hear coming out of my clock radio. I'll get my ass right out of bed.
I'm very happy. Let me just say this. The programming department here at K-Rock, good job on meshing together Brain Stew and Jada. That's two separate tracks from the album. And they decide to let him go instead of just stopping after Brain Stew's done. They go right into Jaded. Kept it going. They felt the continuity is too good.
Are you still speaking?
It's like We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions.
Yeah.
You can't play one without the other.
I understand that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I guess.
I understand that part. Well, I understand what you said first, though. Congratulations to K-Rock. You're just giving shout-outs now to our own station?
I feel like when they do something like that, that's good.
Ooh, K-Rock, I love you. You're so smart. Yeah, all right, yeah. Everybody's afraid for their jobs. Now all of a sudden you're kissing K-Rock ass.
Hey,
yeah,
dude.
Not me,
too.
Man. I'm a rebel. I play by my own rules.
Bite the hand that feeds.
I'm an
all.
Outlaw. It is 5:52 here on the world-famous K-Rock, and we do love this station. Just kidding.
Yes.
It is the 16th of December, Tuesday morning, and it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Because Kevin and Bean have started their holiday vacation a little early this week. Whether they want it to or not.
Vacation.
Enjoying their vacation.
Yes.
So we're here to give you the best of Kevin and Bean all morning long. But I will be here giving you fresh showbiz news, and Lisa May will still be giving you the traffic. Mm-hmm. And Mike will still be explaining to you how they fuse songs together. So you got that going for you. Let's talk about Guy Ritchie and Madonna.
What's up now?
Guy Ritchie's having a very Merry Christmas, or Happy Christmas, as they say over there in England.
Mm-hmm.
The divorce settlement is finally over.
Wow.
And Guy Ritchie is getting $76 million.
From her?
From her.
I thought he wasn't getting any money from her.
Apparently, that's what he said, but it's very different about how things actually shook down in the courtroom.
$76 million.
If you include the property he's walking away with, it comes to a grand total of $92 million in assets.
Oh, my God.
It is a much bigger divorce payday than what Heather Mills got from Paul McCartney, obviously. And they say it could go down as the biggest settlement of all time in England.
Now, he did, like, the property and stuff, they probably bought that together.
Yeah.
Right?
There's a pub apparently owned together in West London. That's part of the settlement. Also, the country home in England.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's keeping that because she's not going to live there anymore. So.
Right, right.
But if you can't, if you count cash and property, 92 mil is what it comes down to.
Wow. Sweet.
That's American dollars, too, right there.
Yeah. That's true.
I mentioned yesterday Naomi Watts and Liev Schreiber had their second son over the weekend, and we didn't know what the name was, and we were hoping, against hope, they would go with the celebrity name route and not give him a normal name, because their other kid had a normal name, right. Alexander. So we're hoping they'd get a little more creative.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel.
Ah, oh, damn them.
Samuel Kai Schreiber. Hey!
So they got Sam and Alex?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just like us. The Armenian comedian and Alex Super, who are our producer.
That's a Hollywood power couple. You guys don't know about that.
Sure is right there. Hayden Panettiere is better than you. Not only is she better looking, but she's got a heart as big as all outdoors. Apparently, the 20-year-old star of Heroes took 5 lucky ladies on a holiday shopping spree last Saturday morning. The 5 girls were all patients at the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles.
Oh, how nice.
They're all battling serious illnesses like aneurysms and strokes and paralysis and sickle cell anemia. And Hayden took them out on a shopping spree and let them buy whatever they want on her.
It was very
which
nice.
Must have been nice for them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
One of the girls apparently wanted to buy shoes for her mom because her mom was going to meet Jesus.
Stop it.
Don't talk about it. I'm going to cry. So, don't make me get teary.
Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens are nasty. They're dirty, nasty people.
In a good
way? I don't buy that.
In a good way. Apparently, an entertainment news website called OceanUp.com.
Mm-hmm.
Every day we find a new entertainment news website, by the way. I've never heard of OceanUp.com, but if you go there, you will see the story of Zac and Vanessa apparently shopping at an adult store here in Los Angeles.
Ruff.
A sex
what did
boutique.
They buy?
I don't know, Bean. I don't know what they bought, but fans did spot them scanning the aisles, and they were stopped, actually, by some fans and posed for pictures there at the adult boutique. Doesn't say which one it is. I'm dying to know. I'm guessing it's probably like Hustler Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of like the trendy celeb one to go to.
The one sure, that's not embarrassing.
But they're not the pleasure chest. That's the one I like, the pleasure chest. It's like a supermarket of porn and sex toys.
Pleasure chest is awesome. I'm sure Disney's really happy about them cruising in together.
Look, High School Musical's over, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
It's not like they're going to try to extend that series at all. But Zach and Vanessa.
Hmm.
Buying some lube.
Did you get a rubber ball gag?
Some bondage rope. A paddle. And you know, Zach's the one wearing the gag.
Of course.
Putting on the French maid outfit. And while we're talking about celebrities and sex, two of my favorite things, Lindsay Lohan apparently isn't the only lipstick lesbian in Hollywood. or limpstick lesbian, depending on how things are working. Aubrey O'Day from the group Danity Kane has come out of the closet. Yes. According to Fox News, she brought her girlfriend to a big Hollywood bash last Wednesday night and said she's out and proud. So Aubrey O'Day.
All right. Add her to the list.
From Danity Kane, apparently the new hot lesbian.
She's hot.
She's hot. Can't take that away from her.
She needs to be put to death, but she's hot.
Wait. Hold on. Why?
She's one of those celebrities that brings her dog everywhere.
Oh, look at you, sir.
Hold on.
You took a photo with your dog with Santa.
I love
you. I bring my dog. Aubrey Day of being overly affectionate with her dog.
One of my dogs usually as many places as is socially acceptable. Yeah, she'll bring him everywhere, including like the red carpet, movie premieres, and she dyes her dog's hair. And that drives me crazy. She'll have like pink highlights in her hair and match her little small lap dog with pink highlights in its hair.
That's where you draw the line.
Yeah,
hair dye.
He's the only one that gets the hair stuff done, not his dog.
You take mud and rub it in your dog's hairs, don't you? After you use it on yourself,
I do.
Jonathan Anton.
Listen,
you got the Jonathan Anton.
They need to be exfoliated. The moisturizing honey almond body wash, all that stuff's fine. It's when
I draw the dye. It's the hair dye.
I mean, you don't want them chemicals.
And the latest Terminator movie hasn't even opened yet. Christian Bale stars as John Connor in the fourth Terminator movie, Terminator Salvation, The Future Begins. But apparently, the producers are so happy with the final product that they have already scheduled a fifth film in the Terminator series. And they say Christian Bale will be back for that as well. The movie's expected to be released in 2011. So, get a lot of Christian Bale fighting a lot of robots.
That's his Christmas gift right there.
And while we're on the subject of sequels, Will Smith fans will be happy to hear that he is talking about making a sequel to Hancock with the lovely Charlize Theron.
Oh, wow.
I'd be all about that.
Mm-hmm.
And also they're talking about a prequel to I Am Legend. Not so much. But this one I'm all about. Jeff Bridges has signed to star in a sequel to Tron.
What?
Yes.
No way.
Yes. One of my favorite films ever. It'll be called Tron 2, and it's about a hacker who was abducted into the world of Tron. You know, the computer. They get sucked into the computer, Lisa. Maybe you've never seen
Tron. I've never seen Tron.
But they get sucked in the computer, and then they have to battle all these sort of computer gladiator games in order to reach the master control program. And Jeff Bridges played the original programmer.
How long ago was that movie,
1982.
Though?
Kind of a long time between installments.
When that movie came out, it was mind-blowing, the special effects. And now
we couldn't believe. Remember those little cycles they used to drive around?
Yeah, and they're playing cycles? Like Hi-Li in a swingers club with neon lights.
They had this, it was like a computer frisbee they would play under those discs.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to play that video game forever. When the arcades, when it came out, the Tron game.
No, that was one of those movies that you saw it, and the first time you watched it, in the first 9 minutes, you said, this is going to be the best video game.
Yeah.
And it was, and I never stopped playing. That was the theme song of the video game. Little spiders were coming at you. It's awesome. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress Anna Popplewell from the Chronicle of Narnia films. She is 20 years old today. Michael McCrary of Boys to Men turns 37. Benjamin Bratt from Law and Order. And he's got his own show now. The Fixer. The Cleaner.
That's
what it is. Yeah. He is 45. And NYPD Blue creator, my old boss. He also created many other TV shows like Hill Street Blues and Over There. Remember that Vietnam TV series?
Yes, that's right.
Stephen Bochco. Stephen Bochco is 65 years old today. He's a legend in show business and a good guy. Every time I think of Stephen Bochco, I can't help but think of when we were talking to Mark Paul Gosselaar.
That's right.
Who was starring in a Stephen Bochco series at the time. I forget which one it was, what he was working on. It was the, maybe the,
an attorney.
Yeah, maybe the legal one or something. Anyway, I just remember Kevin asking about Over There, the Vietnam series that Stephen Bochco did, because he enjoyed it so much.
I wonder how that went.
I wonder what that sounded like.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Mark, so you're gonna, starting tonight, and are you a permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Bochco, tell him that we're so Over There is not anymore, right?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That's the best.
That's a little early Christmas present for you right there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This hour, playing all bands that are going to be playing night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. Tickets went on sale at 5 for night number one. Tickets go on sale a little bit, of maybe a half hour, at 6 p.m. That's when tickets go on sale for night number two.
And, of course, that's The Cure, The Killers, Death Cab for Cutie, Paramore, Franz Ferdinand, Scott Weiland, Snow Patrol, Vampire Weekend. And we'll give you a chance to win tickets in the pit and backstage passes for both concerts between now and when we get off on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. Omar, what? Omar, what?
What? Do you guys think that's annoying?
Yes.
Okay. What's up with all the goddamn Salvation Army people doing that everywhere I go?
Look.
Seriously, stop it.
We've been having this conversation off the air for a couple of days. Omar has an unnatural hatred for that bell.
Because what the hell?
Well, it's to get your attention.
Yeah.
Okay, like we don't see that big giant bucket and they're all dressed in red with their freaking Christmas hats on.
Right, but
they need to do this.
But they're giving up their personal time to stand out there and raise money for...
So stand out there and wish me Merry Christmas or some BS. It's 2008. Find some other way of getting my attention.
Omar,
no.
You hear that bell for 15 seconds as you walk by the guy. But
No. I don't walk.
What?
I'm running by it. I want to get as far away as possible that freaking bell.
Okay, let me just put it in context. How annoyed can you be once a year when you walk past that bell for, okay.
Super annoyed.
25
Do you
seconds.
Hear this?
Yes.
Do you hear this?
That is annoying.
Okay, okay.
But
stop it is my point. Okay, get on. It's 2008. Find a new, something new.
An air horn? Maybe or
air horn, dude, hire some hot chicks.
Yeah,
put a midget out there,
right?
Or something. People be all curious. Hey, there's a midget out here. I'm gonna give you some change. You know what this does? This makes people rush by, and you're not doing yourself a favor. Nobody's gonna put any money in that.
Why do you hate? This is a tough time of year.
Because of this,
there are a
tough
lot
time
of, people,
of year. I don't need to be hearing this.
A lot
okay?
of people need help.
I'm in the Christmas spirit. I'm walking into
doesn't
my Target.
Sound like it.
Dude, well,
doesn't
well,
sound much
because
like
of this. So Salvation Army, stop it.
But can't you cut them some slack? Don't they get a pass just because of how great the organization is? They help with disaster relief. They help with homeless people, drug and alcohol rehab. I mean, they do so much stuff with that money. That's all they're saying is, hey, we're just trying to get your attention because you're shopping.
My point is that, fine, they do good work. Okay, I'll give them that.
Okay.
My point is, the bell, really? 2008? You know what the bell, to me, it's just like, okay, you know, like people when they have butlers, oh, here's the bell. Do something for me? F you! Okay?
It's not a demand. Dude, it's just, hey, look over here. That's all it is.
Hey, I see you. You can't. They're right in your f***ing way to get through the f***ing door.
You can't.
You know what? Next time I see their f***ing bucket,
you
I'm going to take a shit in that bucket.
Okay.
And then
all right,
they'll stop with the f***ing bell.
Oh, all right.
This is too much.
Wow.
Omar needs to leave. He needs to be escorted out. That's
wow.
not that's not the holiday spirit at all. Oh, come on.
You know, f*** them.
Come on now.
I'm just saying.
It's a tough time to be raising money for charity.
I got a tough time with my ears with this. Come on.
In Omar's defense, he is just saying.
I am.
Right, will you give them money at least once this year to counteract this
if
negative...
If they let me in their bucket.
to counteract this vile that's coming out of your mouth. Come on. It's the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde on in the afternoon from 5 to 6.
Social distortion on the way this hour. Rise Against, Nine Inch Nails, Paramore. Oops. Did I screw up? Did I accidentally telegraph what's coming up?
Oh, please don't.
Oh, jeez.
If you want to win your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008, then you know what to do when Paramore plays. Ralph Garman, what's going on, man?
I'm living in hell.
What?
Living in
yeah.
movie hell.
No, you love it.
No, I don't love it.
You
Here's
love
the thing.
It.
Here's the mistake I made. Is when you made me watch Beer for My Horses with Toby Keith.
Yeah.
I was watching that on DVD, and I happened to mention that I saw a trailer for a movie called Bait Shop starring Bill Engvall and Billy Ray Cyrus.
Right.
And I mocked it, and you guys, oh, yo, you got to watch that then. That'll be funny, too. Watch
yeah.
that one. Hey, no, it's yeah. not good. It's not funny. It's not enjoyable. It's a horrible. I had to start drinking about halfway through the movie.
Oh, not again.
Ralph, what does it do to you, forget as an American, what does it do to you as an actor to realize that these are movies that are being made, that people are writing and casting and airing and people are watching?
As I watch this, that's one of the first things that went through my mind was the acting in this is on
top-notch.
Par with sort of a high school play. I'm not just talking about being a big... Bill Engvall, or Bing Elvis.
Sure,
Engvall,
either way.
And Billy Ray Cyrus. I mean, all throughout, just the cast is just popular with people you've never seen before, and then you start to realize why as you watch them perform.
Are they all country music?
No, people? These are just Just,
are they their friends or something?
I have no idea where they got these people, but I would know where I'd like them to go.
Is this a bad TV movie, Bachup, or was it straight to DVD?
I think it was straight to DVD.
Okay.
I can't imagine even the CMT network would air this. It's that horrible. It plays like a really bad sitcom, of which Bing Engvall also has.
Yeah, he has that.
But without the laugh track.
Excellent.
So the horrible jokes that they write just lay there like a turd in a punch bowl.
That's great. That's what you want, right?
No, well, that's not what I want.
What happens in Beach Hop? Is it an exciting fishing adventure?
This movie makes Beer for My Horses look like Citizen Kane.
You despised Beer for My Horses.
I know, and now I have to apologize to Beer for My Horses because I've seen Bait Shop. Bill Engvall plays a guy who owns a rundown bait shop.
Yeah?
And he's also a former amateur champion bass angler.
Sure.
What?
Of course.
And in the beginning of the film, he's out in his boat fishing for bass on the lake when Billy Ray Cyrus comes by in his bigger boat and causes a wake and knocks him into the water. So he has to go to work all drenched and wet because
he's been knocked
into the lake. And his friends at the bait shop, they sure notice he's wet.
You're late. Were you out fishing?
No. I was running late, so I showered with my clothes on. Nothing gets by you, Gus.
See? No, I showered with my clothes on.
Oh, that was funny.
Because he's wet, and that was a dumb question.
So we meet his lovable cast of friends that surround him, including Odd Job, his handyman, who just repairs around the old rundown bait shop.
Sure.
And it turns out Odd Job has been sleeping at the shop, and Bill Engvall can't understand why.
I thought you were staying with Shirley.
Oh, I was. Turned out she's married. Wasn't a big deal to me, but her husband was none too happy to come home and find me.
See, doesn't that sound like there should be a laugh track laugh after that on TBS?
Yeah. It does seem like there should be a laugh somewhere.
But it's not in the joke.
Yeah.
It's not in the writing.
No.
That's how horrible this thing is. It's not even like bad enough to go, oh, wow, that was funny because it was horrible. It's just, it's watching a flatline coma patient for 2 hours.
Wow.
But then at least Hot Rod Johnson shows up, Billy Ray Cyrus. And we get to see the ESPN special on Hot Rod Johnson.
This is Hannah Montana's dad?
Billy Ray Cyrus,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah, and ESPN, I don't know why, but their name is all over this thing. I guess they have regular bass fishing shows on ESPN.
I tune it away immediately upon seeing bass fishing.
So here's their little bio of Hot Rod Johnson.
Blessed with a surgeon's skill and the mentality of an assassin, Hot Rod is quite simply the greatest bass fisherman in the world today. Part showman, part samurai. HRJ is that new breed of pro athlete that works hard, but parties harder. More than just a man.
HRJ. He parties harder. More than just a man.
How did they rope a black guy into doing a voice on this show,
yeah,
Elf?
On fishing, by the way. You know, the blacks love their fishing.
Oh, they do.
That's a stretch.
They love the bass fishing.
So, Hot Rod Johnson has come to Paradise Lake, where Bill has his bait shop, because they're having one of the big bass fishing tournaments there on the lake. And Bill, as a former bass fisherman, doesn't care much for Hot Rod Johnson.
Sure, he's too flashy, right?
And doesn't like him being in his neighborhood. And yeah, he doesn't count on the skill enough, Kevin. He uses that technology like echo finders.
Oh, sure,
like
yeah.
So he is facing his friends at the bait shop going off on Billy Ray Cyrus's character. And is this the oldest gag in the world?
Let me guess. Billy Ray's behind him.
Just listen.
Really?
Hot Rod Johnson is a joke. A real fraud. If he ever steps foot in this store, I'll tell him that right to his sorry face. What? He's in the store, isn't he?
Oh,
comes in right behind him.
Oh, that's crazy.
Heard him the whole time. Heard him talking that smack.
That's outrageous.
That is fresh. That is fresh filmmaking.
We're talking about a DVD movie called Bait Shop.
Ralph
suggests you rent.
Not only is HRJ competing in the bass fisherman tournament, but has opened up a bait shop on the other side of the pier from Bill's.
It's
a grand opening of the HRJ bait shop. And there go to the grand opening, just furious, and his friend, his wacky, sort of crazy friend, not Oddjob the handyman, another wacky, crazy country friend, thinks that something's going on with the grand opening, being hosted by one of the local TV personalities.
You see that guy up there? I've had him under surveillance for a month, and that is pure Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda? That's Donnie Range, the weatherman from Channel 8.
Open your eyes, Bill. That's exactly what Osama wants you to think.
Boy, you do have a plate in your head, don't you?
So?
Wow!
So? Yeah, I have a plate in my head. He's Al-Qaeda.
That's pure Al-Qaeda. Somebody read the script and said yes?
Someone wrote the script? Let's greenlight it.
Let's greenlight it.
Well, it turns out that Bill's about to lose his bait shop because he owes the bank money.
Oh.
You know them revenuers.
Sure.
You know them highfalutin banks taking money from the little man.
Sure.
And so he has got to find a way to pay off his loan or else he's going to lose his bait shop. But instead he gets drunk and dresses up in a bass suit, a bass costume,
mm-hmm.
and starts handing out flyers for the his bait shop, trying to increase sales in the middle of traffic in the center of town.
Okay.
Are you some kind of freak?
No, I'm not a freak. I'm a bass. I'm a bass.
Wow.
He's an ass. He's dressed up like a bass.
That is unbelievably bad.
And so he's got to go into a bar dressed as the giant fish because we need the visual gag for the movie, right?
Sure, of course.
Oh, Lord.
What?
Never seen a bass in a bar before?
Never seen a bass in a bar before?
Yeah, really. I mean, haven't we all?
Well, unfortunately, Hot Rod Johnson's in that bar. And Bill, being a drunk bass,
mm-hmm.
starts to mouth off. And looks like these two are going to have a fight.
Boy, you think you're just some kind of tough guy, don't you?
Better be careful, Bill. I've been known to bring the thunder.
Is that right? Well, I've been known to break the wind.
Easy.
Yeah.
See, because he farts.
Wow, that's spectacularly bad.
Well,
are you hearing yourself, Ralph? Are you hearing the movie they are describing? Ralph had to watch it.
This spurs Bill into entering the big fishing competition.
Of course. Mano.
Because he wants to beat Hot Rod Johnson, and grand prize is $50,000, which would more than take care of his loan
for
his bait shot.
Save his bait shot.
At this point in the film, I was on the edge of my seat. I didn't know who was going to win.
Right.
Was it going to be Hot Rod Johnson, the better fisherman, or was it going to be Bill? I didn't know. I had to watch. Well, it turns out that Hot Rod Johnson does win because he was cheating.
Oh, no!
And they find out he's a cheater, and then this happens.
Cheater!
Cheater! Cheater! Cheater!
Insane turn of events.
This is the biggest disgrace I have ever seen in all my years bass fishing. Hot Rod Johnson should be taken out to that lake and drowned.
What about it, Chairman? Is there a death penalty in bass fishing?
Unfortunately, no. We outlawed it in
83. See, they outlawed that in 83, the
killing
death
someone?
Penalty in bass fishing.
I get that. I get that.
And so Bill becomes the winner because he came in second place.
Saves his bait shop?
Saves his bait shop. But not only that, he learns a very important lesson at the end.
What about it, Bill? What happened out there today?
Out there, nothing really. Just fishing, mostly. But in here.
In his heart?
Yeah.
In here, I had a realization.
Yep.
Realization is I got a wonderful family, surrounded by great friends, and that's the best catch a man can have.
That's right.
You're really lucky.
We're the really lucky one.
I'm lucky.
Yeah, it's the best catch a man can have.
F every one of those people.
He was obsessed with money and getting money, but once he made $50,000, that's when he realized how important his friends and family
it's
are.
It's not about money, Ralph.
So the moral story is, when you really have money problems, get the money first, and then you'll be able to realize that you love your family.
And you don't need the money.
Not when you win it. Not when you have it. You don't need it. No.
Did you see a tease for another movie that you need to watch?
No. I'm done watching bull country music star movies with all these Larry the Cable Guys and Bill Engvall and the rest of these country f***s can all suck my
okay. So two thumbs up.
I hope they put that on the box for the DVD.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, Cinco de la Tarde on the world famous K-Rock. That was the song you were listening for by Paramore for Acoustic Christmas Tickets. We have given away that pair of tickets, and now you're listening for a new song, which you can find on the website at krock.com. Or if you're not near a computer, I will just tell you that it's Cannibal Corpse, Hammer
nope.
Smash Face.
No.
That's the song that you're listening.
What?
You read
that wrong.
Oh.
It's the Leaving Song by AFI is actually the song. But we're not even supposed to say that. You're supposed to go to krock.com and check it out. All right. Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. Ralph will be along with the Showbiz Beat in just a few minutes. In the meantime, though, there is a story that that he did break for us earlier in the week that is fascinating, and that is, you know the big promotion that Dr. Pepper did? They were smart. They came out with an ad that said, hey, we're going to give away a free Dr. Pepper to everyone in the United States if Guns N' Roses ever finally releases Chinese Democracy that we've been waiting for 13 years, right?
Yes.
Well, Guns N' Roses did it. They released the album on November the 23rd. Then Dr. Pepper had a big screw-up where their website was overloaded and they couldn't give away all the coupons to people because people couldn't log on to the thing. Now Axl's pissed.
Now he's suing Dr. Pepper.
Suing Dr. Pepper. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's odd. And we thought we would check in with Axel this afternoon. Good morning, Axel. Good afternoon, Axel.
Yes, it is. Axel, could we just have a regular conversation with you, or do you have to sing all of your answers again today?
I don't have to sing all my answers today, but I think I will sing them anyway.
All right, is it true that you're suing Dr. Pepper?
Yes, it's true, I'm suing Dr. Pepper.
Here's what's so confusing to us about this. We get the impression from the way the lawsuit is written that you're angry at Dr. Pepper for using the good name of Guns N' Roses to try to sell soda. You don't want them to do that. But now you're furious and suing them because the promotion screwed up and you want them to extend the offer. So you don't want them to do it, but you want them to do it more?
I'm angry that they screw people out of the soda.
Okay, so you want...
I really love soda. I'm a big fan of soda.
Right. But what about the online contest? Axel, what's going on here?
Come on, Axel, let us talk.
You're in turn.
I am sorry to interrupt you. Please go right ahead.
Okay. Your attorney says that the Dr. Pepper contest, where they give away the soda, it represents a raw and damaging commercial exploitation of Guns N' Roses rights. Then why do you want them to now extend the offer so more people can try to get the soda?
I'm sorry I missed that. Could you repeat the question?
No, I can't.
He tried it 15 times.
Do you want Dr. Pepper to stop it or continue it?
I would like to stop it and then to have them continue it.
That doesn't make any sense.
No wonder we're so confused about this. So you like what they're doing or you don't like it?
I don't like what they're doing, but I love what they're doing.
Okay. All right. That's fantastic. So, that's something else you wanted to say, Axel?
I was just clearing my throat.
Did you clear your throat with that song?
But Axl right. Rose clears his throat, Welcome to the Jungle comes out.
That's the coolest.
I don't think we're going to get any answers.
And you should hear it. What comes out when I fart?
Okay. All right. Thank you, Axl.
November rain comes right out of my ass.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, party people. 6:53 here on the world famous K-Rock. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean as Kevin and Bean have left for their early Christmas vacation this week. I'm still here in the studio. It's your old buddy Ralph, Lisa May, Psycho Mike. We're joining you live in the studio to bring you live showbiz news with the Showbiz Beat. So let's get to it, shall we? It is Tuesday. That means new DVDs, new CDs in stores. If you're doing some Christmas shopping, maybe you want to pick something up that comes out today for your loved ones on CDs. Folly Adieu by Fallout Boy. It is available today, as is When the World Comes Down by the All-American Rejects. And Soulja Boy Tell 'Em.
Yeah.
By Soulja Boy Tell 'Em. Also opens today as well. You can do that nutty Superman dance.
Mm-hmm.
That's
fun. Crazy.
It's crazy.
Zany.
DVDs, Mamma Mia, the movie.
You know, I never saw that.
How is that possible?
It's not my favorite musical.
The woman who worships all things Broadway did not see Mamma Mia, the movie.
I might rent it, though.
You should get the 2-disc special edition that drops today, Lisa.
Really?
Meryl Streep, Colin Firth, Pierce Brosnan, Stellan Skarsgård star. I hope the second disc is just Pierce Brosnan singing, because he's gifted.
I hope it's the sing-along version.
Oh,
you know, where the ball bounces along the lyrics.
We could all go over to Lisa's house. And
we could pop popcorn.
And we could put her blind dog in the corner and watch him try to get out. Aww. And then watch the movie.
Eat syrup.
That'd be awesome. Put some Splenda in our White Zinfandel and just kick back for a party.
That is a good time.
The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, also drops today. Brendan Fraser, Maria Bello. She's so hot.
She is.
Speaking of hot, The House Bunny, starring Anna Faris, is also on DVD today.
That's a funny movie. I saw it.
And speaking of not hot, The Women, starring Meg Ryan, Annette Bening, and Deborah Messing.
Yeah.
Also on DVD today.
Didn't bother mess.
And if you're a fan of Generation Kill, if you were watching that over there on, was that FX had Generation
Yes,
Kill?
I believe so.
That is also available on DVD today as well. So there's your update on what's new on DVD. Speaking of television, Jack Black's just been announced. Will be guest starring in the post-Super Bowl hour-long episode of The Office.
Oh, no kidding.
That should be fun.
What a great idea.
The network says the plot apparently revolves around employees of Dunder Mifflin trying to watch a bootleg copy of a movie featuring Black and other notable Hollywood stars. So perhaps they're just going to be in the movie in the episode. But Jack Black will be stopping by. So that's pretty cool. For fans of Reese Witherspoon, it's just been announced that her next film will be a film from James L. Brooks called How Do You Know? If she's a man or a woman.
Oh, come on.
No, I just wanted to do that for Kevin to carry on the his inexplicable hatred of Reese Witherspoon.
She's a dude.
That's what he'd be doing right
now. Yeah, that's what he'd be doing right now. Yes. Not a dude, obviously. More movie news. Christian Bale has signed on to play John Connor in yet another Terminator movie.
I'm confused when they start doing prequels and sequels. Now
here's the thing about the Terminator series, Lisa, is it's a lot of time travel.
I know.
Always gives you a headache because it's sort of a conundrum how it all comes around again. But let me try to explain it to you the best I can from a sci-fi geek to a non-sci-fi geek.
Okay.
In the first film, you had the Terminator robot going back in time to try to stop John Connor from being born.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So that was the first one. The second one is they program a Terminator to come back to protect John Connor, who's already born as a teenager at this point, so that he can grow up to lead the resistance against the machines.
Okay.
In the third Terminator, I forget what happened.
Third Terminator is almost along the same lines. It was the one with Kristanna Loken as the evil one.
As the evil Terminator.
And Arnold's, again, protecting John Connor.
A slightly older John Connor. And then the fourth one, this one is going to be, we get to see John Connor as a man, played by Christian Bale.
Who leads the resistance?
Who leads the resistance of the humans against the machines, against Skynet.
This will be the first Terminator movie that takes place after the great kind of like apocalyptic event. You know?
Right, exactly.
All right, thank you.
But it's sort of a prequel because it's during these events that take place in the fourth film that the machines send back the Terminator to try to exterminate John Connor so he doesn't grow up to be this.
Stop talking.
They try to change the future by going back to the past.
I had it.
You see?
I'm done.
You don't have it. You think you have it, but you don't have it. And more sci-fi news. Will Smith is talking about doing a sequel to Hancock with the lovely Charlize Theron.
You got to be happy about that.
Yeah. I'm involved. I love Charlize involved in any project, especially Hancock. Yeah. And the prequel to I Am Legend, also, he will be involved in. And as we mentioned this morning, getting a lot of emails about this. A lot of Tron fans very excited to hear that Disney is doing a Tron sequel starring Jeff Bridges, the star of the original film. He will star in Tron 2 as a hacker is abducted into the world of the computer and has to battle all these computer gladiator events to try to get out. And the cool thing I've heard they're doing is that, obviously, this is 1982 when they made this original film. Bridges will play his original character, the programmer of this game, current time, in his current age. He has aged, right, at this point. But when they go into the computer, they're going to digitally make him younger so he can look exactly like he did
in the original
one when he becomes a computer character.
Interesting.
Yeah. I wish someone could do that to me.
We need to talk to Tron suit guy.
Tron suit guy.
Oh, the Tron
suit guy. Tron suit guy.
Yeah.
We do need to talk.
He's got to be just geeked.
Yeah. Those Tron suits are just like lights sewn into a leotard.
That's exactly what he looked.
Today's celebrity birthdays, NYPD Blue creator and my former boss, Stephen Boschko, 65 years old today. Actor Benjamin Bratt from Law & Order is 45. Michael McCrary of Boys 2 Men is 37. And Anna Popplewell from the Chronicles of Narnia film. She turns 20 years old today. Stick around for the rest of the best of Kevin and Bean. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We got the bravery in the studio with us. Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Anthony. How are you guys?
Great. Good, man. Good to see you.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
The guys in the bravery are trying to kill themselves.
Clearly.
Because last night they did Leno. Did Believe on Leno, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Then you went to Loveline.
Went to Loveline.
Till midnight.
Till midnight.
Good. Today, you're going to go to the Virgin Megastore.
Yeah.
And then you're going to do your not-so-secret show.
Not so secret anymore.
Somehow got leaked. And what? Why? What? What's going on here?
Album release day, man.
Yeah, man.
It's got to rock.
Are you not exhausted?
Usually when people, every time they say, oh, yeah, they're doing Loveline the night before, I go, oh, no, they're going to be tired. They're going to be.
They don't look bad.
You guys don't look tired at all.
We're on a lot of drugs.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
they keep us plied with,
is it a meth
with
thing?
Drugs. Yeah. You ever see that movie, The Wall?
Yes.
Yeah, that's basically
sure.
how
that's,
we roll.
That's your
they
life?
Just, yeah, we have a team of handlers that keep us full of drugs.
You don't know where you are, what
yeah,
you're doing.
No,
they just point
know
you in the
if
right
I'm
direction.
Awake or if it's daytime.
It's just a dream.
Espresso.
All espresso.
How was Loveline last night? That's always a little shocking to the system when people do that.
I love Loveline. It's, I guess, the third time we've done it, and I'm like a big fan, and so it's always kind of exciting for me.
Aren't you amazed that Dr. Drew is never thrown? That drives me nuts. I always try to figure out a way to, like, he's got to be human in some way.
The
but
thing that gets me is when he can spot a fake call a mile away.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's just really weird.
The thing that gets me is that they'll say good morning, and he'll say, abused by mother.
Yeah. Like,
what? They haven't
well,
even said anything
he
yet.
He thinks everyone's abused
he
by
does,
mother, though.
But yeah. Then he asks some questions, and it turns out they were.
Yeah, he gets
how
he
does
gets
he do that?
Just the tone of the voice or something. I don't know.
That's so magical. Bizarre.
Yeah.
He's scary.
Yeah.
So the thing at the Virgin Megastore, you're going to do a signing there? Is that what you're doing?
Yes. We're
Well, first
signing.
Let's talk about the CD, and then we'll talk about the signing. The CD comes out today.
Right.
And
right
tell
on.
Us about that.
Well, when we were...
Because I bought this last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It's our second record, and when you're doing a second record, it's a tricky one for a band, because you have to decide, like, are you going to do the same thing, you know, that you had success with on the first record, or are you going to try something totally different? So for us, we were like, we'll just do both. So we...
It's called the sophomore curse, right?
The sophomore
bands
slump.
That,
they slump, call it whatever.
Right. All the bands that come through, they do great with one album, the next one's tough.
Yeah.
So you did both.
Yeah. So we took these 11 songs and we just recorded them in two completely different ways. And so it's like two completely different takes on the same album.
It's called the Sun
and the
Moon.
And the Moon. And the Sun came out... It took a long time to do this whole thing, obviously. So the Sun came out like in May, and now we're putting out the Moon.
Is it difficult to reimagine your songs in a different way? I mean, how different are they?
They're like very different, some more than others, you know. And it's, you know, we come from like a DJ background, so the way we make music is like you putting it in the computer and remixing everything, and that's just how we do it naturally. So for every song, there's like 10 versions of
excellent
of the song that you don't usually hear, because most of them suck.
Most of them are crappy.
Yeah, exactly. But so we just figured we'd, you know, just explore both directions with this. And
were
so,
you the one that started out in college in a kind of a fake ska band called Scabba the Hutt?
Yeah.
I love that.
Me and John, the keyboardist. Like
Scabba the Hutt.
Yeah. There was this whole ska thing going on in New York at the time, and we thought it was like really silly. And so we just started, and we started playing around in that band, and that's how we kind of started working together. And
how far
John,
into it
John did... Togo from CSI Miami was in it.
Oh, right.
So he's like a friend of ours.
How far into it did you start thinking, hey, I could write songs? Because I don't know. Like, I've never had that thought in my life. I could write songs. It just never has occurred to me. I haven't said, I'm not going to try. I just never thought of it.
We just started, like, screwing around, like, making these stupid songs. And then after a while, they kind of, you know, you start taking it more seriously and stuff.
You guys have played a lot of different venues. You've played Coachella. You've played European festivals. What's the little clubs? What's the best? What do you like the most? Leno, for example. You only play one song. You're only
well,
there.
They're, right. They're different. Like, festivals are great because, you know, you're playing in front of new people who aren't necessarily there for you exclusively.
That could be difficult, though, too, because they're waiting for whoever. At
yeah,
times.
But, I mean, your fans are there, too. So so hopefully you're going out there, you're excited to turn new people on to the music. But, I mean, I love the smaller clubs like your shows because it's, like, intimate and it's one-on-one with your fans. But, you know, there's pros to both, you know.
How many of the people do you see at those big events? Do you look at people's faces, or is it just a sea of human beings and you don't really see anyone's
expressions? You know, I have really bad eyesight.
And, oh, good.
And that makes it easier.
Yeah.
He looked at me, Earl. He looked at me. They're all saying, you go, not really.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't see.
I saw an interview with the guy from NXS, you know, the singer.
Mm-hmm. And he Michael was, Hutchins?
Yeah. Michael Hutchins, right. And he said, there's never been a singer with good eyesight.
A good singer actually, with good eyesight.
Yeah,
good
you could actually see how many people are out there. Would just completely
it would freak you out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That would be difficult. There are a lot of people who kind of hide behind, you know, hair or microphone
sure.
or something. Then you can't even see what they're doing.
Yeah.
You guys opened early in your career, which was, what, three, four years ago. You opened for U2, right?
Yeah.
I was reading a review about that show where the power went out.
Yeah.
And you had to walk off stage.
Scariest day of my life.
And then you had to come back on and play, and then the power went out again, and you had to walk back.
100,000 people.
Yeah. In Dublin.
Oh, my God. Dublin.
Yeah,
in
Dublin. Are you kidding?
And we get on stage, we're like, opening for U2, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's the best day of your life,
two
right?
songs in, just all the power just goes out.
Now, how long do you just stand there, awkward, and go, okay.
For a while.
You do
and
the
then,
jig, and then you jig.
We just stood there for a while, and then someone came out and was like, it's going to take us a while to get this back on, so you should just leave.
Okay, so then they turn on the power, and then they said to you guys, now you have to go back and start again.
Yes, and but
I'm saying no!
Yeah, well, they came out, and they said, they talked to the crowd, and they were like, you know, this is what happened. The power went out. Like, you know, the bravery is like toughing it out. And it kind of worked in our favor. Like, the crowd was totally into it.
They were forgiving. Then they were rooting for the under. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool. That happened.
And so, in the end, it was all right.
That's cool. Seems like that could have been a horrible day, but I'm glad here it wasn't so bad. All right, The Sun and the Moon Complete. It comes out today. You can get it at wherever, iTunes or wherever. And you can get it signed at the Virgin Megastore. If you want to buy it there, you get a wristband, right? Is that today if they buy it?
Yep.
Get a wristband. And then tonight, you guys are going to do a signing at 7 o'clock. Then you got the Knights of Secret show at Spaceland. I'm sure you got a couple other gigs after that.
We got Kevin and Bean this morning.
Yes, you do. I don't know how you squeeze that in, but I'm glad you did. You guys can play live for us in a second?
Yeah, you got it.
All right. Cool. The Bravery, live music coming up on KROQ. The Bravery are in the studios of the world famous KROQ 106.7 KROQ at 923. The new CD is The Sun and the Moon Complete. And which song are you going to do for us now, guys?
We're going to do the new version of Believe.
Believe, okay. The Moon version.
That's right.
All right.
All around me, they don't smile, they just crack. Waiting for our ship to come, and our ship's not coming back. We do our time like pennies in a jar. What are we saving for? What are we saving for? There's a smell of stale fear, it is reeking from our skin. The drinking never stops because the drinks is all our sins. We sit and grow our roots into the floor. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? So we live something to live. Cause I am living just to breathe. And I need something more. Coming, you can hear it in the ground. It swells into the air with a rising sound. And never comes but shakes the bones and rattles all the doors. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? So give me something to believe. Cause I am living just to breathe. That I am just nothing. Now that's just what I've become. What am I waiting for? It's already done. Ah! So give me something to believe. Cause I am living just to breathe. And I need something more to keep on breathing for. So give me something to believe.
Come on. That was fantastic. The Bravery? Live on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Guys, I'd like to apologize for Lightning crawling around in your drums and underneath your legs and all that stuff. He's just trying to videotape it for the website. You guys going to do another song?
Yeah. We figured we'd do, I guess we'll do Honest Mistake.
Fantastic. Live music from The Bravery on the world-famous K-Rock. The Bravery on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. The CD is in stores today, The Sun and the Moon Complete. You can pick it up anywhere or on iTunes. You can go to the Virgin Megastore where the guys are going to be tonight starting at 7.
That's right.
Doing a signing, and then you're going to be at the Not-So-Secret Show at Spaceland tonight.
Yeah.
Everyone's welcome, right? Just anyone can come down? Is that the deal?
Sure. It's probably going to be pretty packed.
It might be a little packed, but feel free to come on down. And guys, thanks a lot for coming in today, and thanks to Island Records for helping you out. And we appreciate it. Thanks for coming in and singing in the middle of your very, very busy schedule. Thank you. The Bravery.
So what do you got so far on the list of things that have terrified us in recent years?
Well, you got your mad cow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You got your monkey pox.
Right.
Remember one summer?
I wanted the monkey pox, by the way. Never got the monkey pox. I always hoped to get that.
Remember one summer it was the summer of the alligator? attack or whatever that was.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I do. That's right.
Bird flu was going to kill us all.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
West Nile virus.
That's a good one.
E. coli spinach. We've had a lot of real scary things, but this one, what I'm telling
killer
you.
Killer bees, dude. What about the killer bees?
But I'm telling you right now, this is the one you should be afraid of, and the media is downplaying it because they don't want you to go crazy.
I agree. We're talking about the brain-eating amoeba. This isn't something that we just made up. This is something that actually has killed over a million people so far. And John Randolph is the writer of the Lake Havasu News Herald article that caught our attention. I'm right about those facts. A million people dead from this brain-eating amoeba, right, John?
That's slight exaggeration there.
How many so far?
I think since 1995 there's been at least 30.
Okay, wow. Well, that's close enough. Now, we're talking about Havasu here, right? This is a place where a lot of people from Southern California go throughout the course of the year.
No work, no stress, no problem.
Except
that's what
for
they say.
That's Havasu.
The brain-eating amoeba.
Now,
is it true or is it not true that the latest kid that died was in Lake Havasu and some amoeba crawls up your nose and eats your brain?
True.
Dude, what's this all about? What do we need to know?
All right. Well, here's the most important thing is it's not just Lake Havasu that has this.
Oh, good.
It's an amoeba. It's found in 70% of freshwater lakes.
Okay. In the United States. You're a little slow on the sound effects there.
I'm sorry, 70% of freshwater lakes.
There you go.
So it's much worse than we even knew, right, John?
Exactly. And so, you know, I was talking to the state epidemiologist that's the state health official, and she was saying, hey, look, this could be any warm freshwater lake, and just because you had one case here, it could be another lake next summer, it could be in California, it could be in Texas, it could be anywhere, and it's a freaky thing, it just happens. You know, once in a while, this thing happens.
Look, wait a minute, just a second now. An amoeba that crawls up my nose and eats my brain. You can't just throw that off like, just sometimes it happens.
It's like sunburn, Kevin. Occasionally it just happens. There's not much you can do about it.
Some way of protecting yourself or...
Okay. Now, here's the thing. People say, all right, basically it shoots up your nose in a jet of water. Now, this is freaking... This is freaking people out because they're saying, hey, I'm water skiing, I'm wakeboarding,
sure.
I'm jet skiing, I'm doing all this stuff. And the thing is, this thing only lives in shallow, warm water, real shallow. It lives in the sediment at the bottom.
Okay, so it's fresh, too, so it's not surfing off the coast.
Okay, it's just fresh water, as far as we know.
So like Lake Hollywood, for example, right? Boom,
John,
dead.
John, are you a real newspaper reporter?
I am. I'm a real... legit newspaper writer. I don't know how legit that means, but
okay,
I get paid.
Because we interview a lot of reporters. You just don't sound like one. You sound like a guy who's making stuff up as he goes along. That's all. I'm not trying to discredit your credentials. I'm just saying, are you sure about what you're telling us here?
I'm looking at this thing that I wrote right here. So.
Okay, so you're sourcing yourself is what you're saying. Okay.
All right, let me ask you this. If the amoeba is in 70% of freshwater in the country, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why so few deaths then if this amoeba is so widespread?
Well, now you'd have to ask a scientist about this because there's been so few deaths, there's very little that's known about this thing and how it really works.
It's waiting to pounce. That's why it's got an effort where they're all going to hit us at once.
Now I'll tell you the reason why we don't think that's the case is that there's only been 300 or so cases worldwide since the 70s.
Right,
this is when they first discovered this thing.
Was there a kid at Havasu within the last couple of years?
No, this is the first one ever.
That's what I'm saying, though. He just got it, didn't he?
He just got it.
All right, then everyone run for your lives.
Now, what are the we talk in general terms about the amoeba goes in your nose and eats your brain. What actually happens to you from the time you are infected in the water, like this patient in Lake Havasu? What happened to him and how long did it take before he died?
I think it took 11 days.
Wow.
He died. And now what happened was...
Did his just brain start? Did he, like, couldn't understand language one second, and then the next second he went blind, and then...
This is a tragedy for this family here, and we all feel really horrible.
Right, but
it.
Help us whip everyone into a needless frenzy. That's what we do.
And this isn't going to make it sound any better, but, you know, it takes a couple of weeks, or it takes about, you know, a couple of days for the symptoms to appear. They're flu-like, headache... fever.
Oh, good.
Chills.
So it looks just like everything else.
Exactly. And eventually, really what people need to know is it kind of appears to look like meningitis when it gets serious. It has those same similar
and what's
symptoms.
That? Is that
right?
Really, really like bad headache in the back of your head kind of a thing?
Bad headache. And then...
because part of your brain is gone!
And so...
the timing now.
Yeah, okay, you've got it now.
Yeah.
So it finally, in the severe stage, looks like meningitis. And the thing is once this thing is really into the severe stage, it's hard to diagnose.
Good.
So it's, and, well, that's because at that point it no longer looks like meningitis. It looks like brain death.
So you're saying freshwater lakes like Lake Pyramid, for example? Lake Mead?
Any warm freshwater lake.
Raging Waters?
McPowell.
Oh, good point, by the way.
Magic Mountain. All right. What Irvine, all those places?
What I'm sure this has gotten to the CDC, Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. Do they have advice for people? Should people be avoiding freshwater, or should people just be taking their chances and going in there?
Now, here's what people – that's a good question. And here's, you know, any freshwater lake, you know, and first of all, this only tends to affect, and they don't know exactly why, but boys.
Really?
Young boys. Oh. You know, say like – seems. Sorry. That what seems to be the route of transmission is warm, shallow water. You disturb the bottom of the lake.
All right.
You know, you're kicking up sediment or something, and then you go diving into it, and you're swimming around, and somehow this thing gets into your nose.
All right, so what if you plug your nose?
Plug your nose,
you're
dude.
Fine? Then you're good?
Plug your nose.
What about people's swimming pools at home?
There's been one case.
One case?
Now.
I was kidding! Don't go swimming!
Now, what happened was there was no chlorine in the pool. It was full of junk and sediment and stuff. I talked to the epidemiologist who found it. They said, this is a freaky case. And, you know, this is not.
Yeah,
you chlorinate your pool, you have nothing to worry about.
All right. John is clearly trying to stop the spread of good information on our show, which is that you should avoid any kind of water coming in contact with your skin. That's basically
including bottled water.
Bottled water, showers, you should stay away from all of it. That's what we're hearing. Although he's trying to play that down. John Rudolph writes for a newspaper called the Lake Havasu News Herald, so he should know more than a million people out there have died from this already. So be very, very, very careful. Yeah, I know. Like I say, he's trying to play it down.
Okay.
John, thank you for the misinformation, man. We appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, my pleasure.
Okay, bye.
Just gave away a pair of tickets to K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008 when we played the Little Hot Cheetos Kids. We give out that clue at about 8:55 in the morning.
Hot Cheetos!
And then they heard that and called, and congratulations to our latest winner.
So finally, there's a reason to check out the Kevin and Bean Morning Show, because we tip you off on how to win tickets in the afternoon. All right, there's a big controversy in the sports world right now. Kevin, you are Mr. Hockey on the show. Please explain to me why Sean Avery, who, by the way, is a dick, former Los Angeles Kings player, he is known as a punk ass, he is the agitator, he has been suspended indefinitely because of a remark he made about one of the players on the opposing team dating his ex-girlfriend. In fact, I have a sports report from this morning from KNBC. Check it out.
Hockey. As far as opponents are concerned, Dallas center Sean Avery is a bit of a pest. And off the ice, he's quite outspoken. And yesterday, may have spoke a little too much. You see, Avery's ex-girlfriend is now dating Calgary's Dion Phaneuf. Avery had this to say about the Flame star.
I just wanted to comment on how it's become like a common thing in the NHL for guys to fall in love with my sloppy seconds. I don't know what that's about, but enjoy the game tonight.
Now, it's a dick move, but isn't it just bulletin board material? Isn't it just making fun of to get inside the head of somebody you're about to play a professional sport against? What on earth is the NHL doing suspending him for that?
I can't imagine. I agree it was a dick move. It's not something that you would want to say because it makes you sound... But he was doing it to be a dick to that other guy.
It's we know who his ex-girlfriend is.
Alicia Cuthbert,
Right. And what he said about her is so unbelievably rude and insulting.
But it's true. She's a hockey slut.
She is a hockey slut. That's
totally
true. That is true. She dates player after player. Now that she's with
Frifer. I suspend him for one game.
Now that she's
not indefinitely.
That's crazy.
I totally pull him out for a game.
You can't suspend a player from any sport, really, for being a dick, I don't think.
Well, they have suspended them for saying other things, and you pointed out they've suspended him for saying other things.
Well, he's always been a dick.
Right.
But how do you suspend him indefinitely for saying that?
Well, I don't get indefinitely.
My issue is that this has nothing to do with hockey. He wasn't really talking about his teammates. This wasn't an issue. This wasn't even like a fight between other player, like a physical altercation. He wasn't doing anything illegal. He made a mean comment about his personal life. Whether or not he's a dick has nothing to do with him as a player.
Say racist things, they get pulled
That's
out.
That's completely different than saying that you're...
I don't know. This is so borderline awful to say
Lisa,
about
if
a
you
woman.
Said, if I said to you, your ex-husband was unattractive and didn't treat you right, should I be suspended as your producer?
Did yes. you say it to the media representing my team?
But your husband has nothing to do with K-Rock and nothing to do with the show.
I'm sorry, but you're representing the team. Yeah. And if you're going to do it publicly...
It's about his personal life, though. It has nothing to do with hockey.
Then he should have just said it to the guy dating the girl.
I love it when girls fight. I love it so much when girls fight.
Yes, it is BS, and I love it when girls fight. Play some kind of sexy music for this, can't you?
Seriously.
Come on.
Why is it different when we fight?
I don't know.
Get that.
It's hot because they envision us in lingerie and pillows.
Yeah, you guys need to take each other down
and
roll around on the ground? Come on.
I don't remember what the suspension was that Sean Avery got when he referred to a black hockey player on an opposing team as a monkey, but I know he did serve a couple of games out. I don't know what this is going to end up being. It could end up only being one game. It could be four. I don't know. I guess he's going to be meeting with Commissioner Bettman to discuss that, but I just can't believe it seems like you could beat a guy in the head with a stick
yes.
and not get punished as much as making an offhand remark about a guy and who he's dating. It just seems like an overreaction to me.
If you're the commissioner of hockey, don't you have more important things to deal with, like getting more people to actually go to your games, and
you
now you have to sit between two players and go, guys, can we not talk about who had sex with Alicia first, okay? What the hell?
Yeah, we're back in grade school now all of a sudden. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Lisa, do you have is this a particular painful spot for you to hear the phrase sloppy seconds? Is that what it is? It's just such a gross term that you can't...
Gross.
You just hate it to be associated with anybody?
Come on. I mean, you can picture it. It's gross.
It is gross.
But it's a term that is used...
If it were applied to me, I would be super offended.
Yeah, well, you're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I think you are.
I've used that term.
But
before.
I'd rather you two
fought.
But
you,
I mean, come on, fight.
You, Alex.
Hey, fight.
Nothing offends you.
Girls fight. Come
look,
on.
We don't care what either of you broads think.
Course,
we only brought you to here hoping it would lead to a fight, okay? So if you're not going to fight, then we're done.
Oh, Billy. Billy, oh, Billy. You're so sensitive. Might be that scene from... Midnight Express, when Billy's girlfriend's up against the glass. Oh, Billy. Hey, everybody, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, 7:51 here on the world-famous K-Rock. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean, because Kevin and Bean are off on a holiday vacation. But however, I'm still here, your old radio pal Ralph, giving you the latest and greatest in showbiz news, along with Lisa May and Psycho Mike.
Hi. Mm-hmm.
As we begin...
The showbiz beat.
I don't know if you heard the story or not, but one of the contestants of A Double Shot of Love with the Icky Twins was killed shortly after she filmed that program. Her name was Candace Hutchinson, and she died in a fiery car crash in Texas.
Jeez.
But now they've found out that the accident was actually caused by deadly illegal street racing.
She was participating or just
Candace
got in the
was
way?
One of the two cars involved in a deadly race. She was racing a Nissan 350Z Sport Coupe.
Wow.
Racing a Mazda 6 down the airport freeway in Ulysses, Texas.
Yeehaw!
And apparently they passed a Mustang on either side. Candace lost control, veered into the Mazda she was racing, and then crashed into a concrete median.
Oh,
she was not wearing a seatbelt, was ejected from her car, and pronounced dead at the scene. So, apparently MTV is going to try to edit her performance in A Double Shot of Love to be as respectful as possible, but apparently they can't take her out of the show. The show will be dedicated to her memory, which I'm sure will be good news for everyone and her family. Yes, Candace is gone, but A Double Shot of Love, they dedicated to her, so... She's got that going for her.
That's all her family needs.
Yeah. Ryan Cabrera and Riley Keough are back together again.
Thank God.
According to Star Magazine. Ryan, of course, singer-songwriter. Riley Keough, however, you may not know, is Elvis Presley's granddaughter.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Daughter of Lisa Marie Presley.
Oh.
She must be hot then.
Yeah, she's all right.
Yeah.
Apparently, they took a break over the summer, but they're back together again, so everyone can relax, okay? All right?
Okay.
Yeah. Here's a story that Lisa would find interesting.
What?
Heather Locklear is desperate to get back on track after her DUI arrest, and she's been out of the acting gigs for a while. So she, according to Star Magazine, is calling on a pal, Sally Field, for a recurring role on her show, Brothers and Sisters.
Shut up.
Yeah, Heather wants to join that fantasy show of Lisa Mays in her head with Sally Field.
And, there's a lot of people on that show. Just
sure
throw
is.
Her in
you
there.
You wouldn't even notice.
Nope.
Just put Heather in the background. Just give her a gig.
Little head pops up.
Let her pay
up
a waitress or something. Just like playing Where's Waldo. We'll look for Heather on Brothers and Sisters. But no word yet on whether she'll be joining the cast. So we'll have to wait and see.
You can just do that. You can just call and go, can I be on this show?
I do.
That's how it works?
I do all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No one ever calls me back. But I call a lot of people and say, hey, 50, can I be on your show?
50 messages on Hugh Laurie's machine.
That's
from
right.
I'm sure.
Just let me be a corpse. Great news. A lot of high-profile actors are getting behind the Vote No on a Strike movement in the ongoing negotiations between the Screen Actors Guild and the producers.
Did you get a phone call from SAG the other day?
I didn't. Did they call you?
Yeah, I got a call. Hmm. They're having some big meeting at the church in Hollywood.
Yeah,
Highland,
I know
think.
They're having a big membership meeting.
Yeah.
But this is a letter that was signed by more than 130 Hollywood stars, including George Clooney, Matt Damon, Tom Hanks, Alec Baldwin, Steve Carell, Helen Hunt, Diane Lane, Helen Mirren, Charlize Theron, telling the rank and file of the Screen Actors Guild not to vote yes on the authorization for a strike.
Yeah.
They said it's just given the economy and given how many other people in the industry depend on actors for the shows that they work on, the craft service people and the carpenters. They said, look, we're just going to take this deal. 3 years from now, the economy in better shape. We'll all get together, hopefully, with the directors and the writers. Everyone's deal will be up at the same time, and we'll negotiate together from a place of strength. So,
makes sense.
There's hopes that the actors will not go on strike in February. That's what we're hoping for. Jessica Simpson is living with her boyfriend Tony Romo now.
Mm. Boobs.
Which apparently is he's taking better than I thought, given how he played against the Giants this weekend. But she is not good in the kitchen.
I can't imagine
Star Magazine.
I can't imagine her trying to do anything.
Report is that Jessica tried to cook Tony a meal in the oven, and she left the plastic wrapper on whatever she was cooking.
No way.
And he bit into the food and found plastic. And she's blaming the manufacturer, thinking somehow there must be plastic in the food. But it turs out, in retrospect, she left plastic on when she was cooking it.
Well, did they say to leave the plastic on or to take
they
it
really
off?
They really didn't. They didn't explain.
Maybe they didn't say that you
take it out
to
of the
that.
Box. They didn't give her that instruction before she put it in the oven.
Exactly. So,
whose fault is that? Misha Barton. She got things for bad boys, according to the UK Mirror. She is dating another rock star. This guy's name is Luke Pritchard.
He's good.
Familiar with a band called The Kooks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently they are inseparable. They have been spotted making out all over England. Now, Misha likes her musicians. She has dated, of course, Cisco Adler prior to that and Taylor Locke of the band Rooney. But this time, they say she's really making a spectacle of herself all over England. And you can use her to floss, which is very helpful.
And if you ever
you don't like Misha Barton, do you, Psycho?
No.
You find her repugnant for some reason.
Yeah.
Why? She's attractive. She's thin. You like him slender. She's slender.
I see.
I like to
say that I like him thin to be funny and hope that women lose self-esteem because that's
right.
great and all.
Right.
But I really like women a little more curvaceous, and especially if you're going to be thinner, at least be athletic and lean. She's thin and somehow has jelly ass, and it looks like someone walked on her ass with golf spikes. And somehow her nalgas hit her the back of her knee.
So it's she's not perfect enough for you. That's the problem.
No,
that's the problem.
My standards are not that high, but her ass, it's like the Holocaust. You can't even look at it.
All right. It's not like the Holocaust.
I mean, it's really a tragedy.
It may be many things, but you know what? It's not like the Holocaust.
It's a tragedy.
That's what it's not.
It's a tragedy.
Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens are naughty. According to this story, they recently were spotted at an adult boutique here in Los Angeles over the weekend, where they were shopping, scanning the aisles for various and sundry sex
utensils,
sex aids and implements. And apparently a couple fans spotted them, and they actually posed for photos with the fans in the store.
can look for those on an internet near you, I'm sure. And lastly, Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't the only lipstick lesbian in Hollywood, according to Fox News. Aubrey O'Day of the girl group Danity Kane has come out of the closet. Friends say she brought her girlfriend to a big Hollywood party last Wednesday night. It was their first sort of out and about. And so she's here. She's queer. Get used to her.
Okay. You know, when she was on that making the band, you know, when they were building Danity Kane, Puffy forces those girls to live in the house together for, you know, a pretty good period of time.
So it's Puffy's fault that she's a lesbian.
Well, she's living with, you know, numerous
If you live with a woman, naturally you will start to crave her sexually.
That's what happened to me and men. After college, I was like, wow, I can't help it.
All the time in the gym and the
handsome
showers.
Men living with me.
That's your problem. Today's celebrity birthdays, NYPD Blue creator Stephen Bochco is 65. Actor Benjamin Bratt from Law & Order. He is 45. He's got his new show, The Cleaner, over there on TNT. I haven't seen that, but I heard it's pretty good.
He's handsome.
He's a good-looking feller. Michael McCrary of Boys to Men is 37 years old today, and Anna Popplewell of The Chronicles of Narnia. You can tell Dave, the King of Mexico, makes this list for me. Only he would put Anna Popplewell from The Chronicles of Narnia films on there. I'm guessing he probably likes her because
is she hot?
Those. I have no idea. I've never seen a Chronicles of Narnia film.
Right.
But let's just give her a safety bell just in case.
Okay. Right?
She's 20. How rough can she be?
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You know by now.
Oh, my God. It's raining.
It is? There's a little bit of rain.
Why doesn't anyone tell me anything?
It's supposed to rain pretty much throughout the weekend. Maybe Monday late.
Yeah.
Clearing.
Yeah,
maybe.
But we need it, though. I mean, that's important that's true. Thing.
Channel 4 is spectacular.
Of course they are.
And here's why. Here's the recipe. You have to start with a cute little kid talking about the rain. Because none of us would know what to do if we didn't see a cute little kid talking about the rain.
The weather is all rainy, so the snow is so exciting.
I think it'd be more exciting if you could drive through it and go home, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Oh.
That's not on the news.
Yes, it was.
That's so not taking time away from news.
That was the Channel 11, Channel 4 News at 11. Of course. Oh. Of course. Are you kidding? And whoever the guy was, the reporter was out there, he had to contradict the kid. You know, he's like, you know what? I'd rather just leave it behind. Okay,
hey,
that's fine.
You're a stupid fetus. Go back home.
Here's Paul Moyer making some sense out of what's going on.
Mass that hit Long Beach especially hard. What's up with that?
What is up with that? That's a good question.
Does anyone have an answer? What's up with that?
That's on the news, by the way. So then they also have to have equal parts sending somebody to where it used to flood but isn't now. Right. That's part of the recipe.
Hi, Colleen. I'm here at the intersection of Tuxford Street and San Fernando Road. This area has historically been a real problem when you have a heavy rain. There is always flooding here, but apparently not anymore. A lot of work has been done here.
Okay. If it's me, I'm calling back and going, not flooding. Where do I go now?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, not a news story.
Do they get together at the end of the newscast and high-five?
Yes.
Yeah, we nailed it. We really covered it.
Not yet. First, they have to squeeze in an interview where the person is completely ignoring the rain and not answering anything that has to do with it. These people are going to get, I don't know, ice cream or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yogurt. And they don't even mention the rain. They just say it's exciting. So she has to figure out an angle to work it into the rain coverage.
And in Southern California, when it rains, we have come to expect the unexpected. And on this day, the unexpected is the demand on frozen yogurt.
It's a special treat for us today. It is a favorite place for us to come.
Yes.
What does
that is useful information.
It's so crazy. It's cold and it's raining and you're getting frozen yogurt.
You're out of your mind.
Wow.
That's nutty.
What's up with that?
We're so lucky that the rest of the country's problems have been solved, that they have a couple of minutes per newscast to cover this.
We have Channel 4's Doug Kriegel, who we're a fan of because he sounds like he's about to die. Out on the scene. Doug, good morning.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. How are you, sir?
I'm standing here on Ventura Boulevard at an intersection. On one side is an elementary school.
Right.
The other side, a frozen yogurt store.
Right.
I'm desperately hoping to find a small child who wants frozen yogurt in the rain.
Well, that would be the best.
As of yet, I have not seen any children, but I am lingering around the schoolyard. That has caused Chris Hansen to look at me oddly.
That is not accepted very well, I don't think.
No, they tend to think that I'm creepy.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I know that you've been in news for decades here in Southern California, but at some point, don't you get enough seniority where you don't have to be the guy they send out to stand in the rain every single time it's wet?
These are the important stories.
No.
How will Southern California know that it's raining unless I come out here?
You need to breathe a little more, Doug.
If I do, I keep inhaling water.
Oh.
So I'm trying my best not to.
What are you talking? Oh, you mean you're actually in the rain?
I am outside on Ventura Boulevard, oh, as I mentioned earlier in the bit.
Right, no, I know, but I figured
and it's raining out here.
Umbrella or something.
No, it's just me and the microphone.
Wow.
And a video crew.
Wow.
We are waist deep in water. There is a considerable flow coming off of Ventura, and I'm this is problematic.
Quite a bit of water.
Doug? All right, we're having a little apparently the sewers are backing up.
Oh no.
That doesn't smell good at all.
Are you okay, Doug?
And I just now, no, I'm fine. I'm sure it'll be okay.
Doug?
Well,
it sounds like you're underwater. No. Are you okay?
No, I like the rain. After all, we do need it.
It's true.
Totally depends on what kind of Batman you like. That's what it depends on. If you like the
depends
serious,
on you being wrong.
If
asshole.
You like the serious acting side, you go with Christian Bale.
No,
best
it
Batman
has to
ever.
Do with context. If you pick up a 1965 copy of Batman comic book,
right,
and you pick up a modern Batman comic book, you tell me which one seems as if he's walked right out of the comic book onto the screen. That's what we're talking about.
Right,
perfection in the role.
If
that's what we're talking about.
If you want a comic characterization of Batman, you go with Adam West. If you want a real characterization of a great dude that could be Batman, you go with Christian
But the characterization
Bale.
Of Batman in 1965 was what Adam West was doing. That's what the comic book was at the time.
Right.
He perfectly embodied that.
In 1965,
better,
it was great.
Better than Christian Bale does.
Christian Bale's the best Batman ever.
No, it's just not true.
Oh,
it's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. This argument got started during yesterday's Showbiz Beat when Ralph was talking about the upcoming Justice League of America movie. We started talking about some of the casting decisions that have been announced. Then we started wondering who's going to play Batman, and then we talked about Christian Bale, who Kevin erroneously thinks is the best Batman
best
ever.
Best Batman ever by far.
And then Ralph points out that really everyone is a pretender to the throne. Everyone who's ever put on the bat suit since Adam West is basically just trying to either not be him or be just like him because he nailed it.
Right.
It was perfect.
It's
but,
Sean Connery and James Bond. It is the definitive take on the role, and
no,
everything else is variation.
No, it isn't. It's not like Sean Connery and James Bond because Sean Connery and James Bond was a real role and he played it real. Adam West was a comic book character. He played it for schmaltz. He played it for...
He had two levels of a performance going. He had the action-adventure stuff for the kids, and then grown-ups could appreciate the comedy level of it.
It was cheesy as hell.
And comedy's much harder to play than drama, by the way.
Maybe, but if you want a real Batman, you go with Christian Bale. You don't
but
go
I'm
with
telling
the cheesy
you, that was
comic
the
book
real
character.
Batman.
Then, yeah, 1965
yes. So
Pose.
How can you knock his performance for being exactly what the comic book character was?
I don't think Kevin's knocking his performance because, like you said, at that time he embodied what Batman was about. But at this time, if you were to pick up current Batman comic books and the graphic novels, I think that Christian Bale embodies the current Batman very well. So, I mean, if you're putting it in context, that you got to make the comparison to time.
I'm not knocking Christian Bale as if he's horrible. You know, he's not.
Well, of course, he's the best.
He's not the best, and that's what I'm
saying.
He's
no George Clooney.
Best.
Adam West is the greatest actor performance
Adam West
of the
is,
Cape Crusader oh, ever.
Adam West is the 72 Miami Dolphins, and other great football teams have come and gone, but you know what? They're not perfect.
Adam West saved the character
case.
Of Batman. They were going to cancel the comic book series until that TV show hit the airwaves.
That's great.
There would be no Batman if it wasn't for Adam
that's
West.
That's great in 1965.
And the success in that performance.
But that's because they hadn't seen Christian Bale by then.
It's just, you can't say that Adam West did not cement that role on television in terms of live-action performance for forever.
I can't.
That, he's the guy.
I can agree with you on that, and yet Christian Bale came along and did it better.
No, it didn't.
No. If you could only have one,
Christian
Kevin,
Bale.
Well,
Christian Bale
wrong.
By far.
I gave you an out.
Yeah,
I gave you an out.
Exactly. Josh and Torrance, good morning.
Hey, what about Michael Keaton?
I thought he was fine. I thought he was
he
good.
Was fine.
I thought he was good.
He was fine.
Not the best.
But he's not
but
the
he's,
best.
He's
though.
No Adam West.
Come on, for God's sake.
Clearly.
He's no Christian Bale.
I thought Kilmer was good, too. I thought Val Kilmer did a good job.
He was all right, but he's not the best, like Christian Bale.
The problem, guys,
so
is
you're judging
when you get
the film versus the character versus the actor. That's what you're saying. You liked the Batman Begins movie best because it's probably the best representation of the modern take on the character.
And
Christopher Nolan did a great job with the film.
Yes, and I didn't
but
watch
I think
the TV series.
I don't think you can separate the performance versus the project here is what you need to do.
Performance versus the project.
Adam West embodied that character 100%, where Christian Bale did a fine job in a good movie.
You don't think I'm going to suggest that you like Christian Bale best because it's really the only one you remember.
Kevin, well, that's possible.
Kevin likes everything yesterday. It has to be modern for him to get on board. He does not like classic.
I've seen all the movies, and I did watch this series in reruns, and I think Adam West was fine. But as far as a billionaire playboy who anonymously at night fights crime, I thought Christian Bale had that, like, romantic allure, and he had that playboy essence about him, whereas Adam West, like Kevin said, is kind of campy.
Adam West, campy, small screen. Christian Bale,
but isn't campy
real,
as if it was accidental.
Big screen.
Like, he accidentally was campy in the role. That was the purpose of the role.
I agree.
He committed. He articulated exactly what they were trying to do to a perfect level.
I agree with you, and I'm not, again, like, you're not knocking Christian Bale. I'm in no way knocking Adam West. I'm saying that if there's a guy who yet picked to be the real Batman out of all the people that have ever portrayed him, I think Christian Bale hit it on the nose.
Well, there's no real Batman, so that's really not part of the conversation, I don't think.
The problem with Psycho Mike being on my side is he just wants to have sex with Christian Bale.
Right.
Well, that is
true. So that doesn't help me at all.
But in his defense, I desperately want to make love to Adam West. So.
two things, because we're running desperately late on time. We're very, very busy here this morning. Thing one is, could Christian Bale have done this?
Adam West. Adam West.
No.
But he wants
softer now. Adam West. Adam West.
He's a cartoon.
And thing,
Adam West. Adam West.
Thing two is, exactly. Is there any way to decide this? Is there any answer to get a definitive
I wish we knew a
decision.
Decider. I wish we knew a decider.
Mine's the final decision. I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider. Decider. And I decide what is best.
When life's mysteries seem unsolvable, when the hard questions demand a final answer, America turns to the one man we can all trust. He's Kevin Smith, and he's the decider.
Mr. Smith?
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you? Kevin Smith.
First off, let's say for the record that nobody has done a bad job playing Batman. If you go through the list of the Tim Burton movies, if you go back to the TV show, Adam West.
Clooney was pretty gay.
No, even
wasn't
Clooney was
fault.
Good. I mean, Clooney was in a gay film.
All right.
But his performance, I mean, George Clooney is fantastic in everything.
Are we right. trying? There's no Timothy Dalton in right. the Batman.
No, there's roles. No there's no George Lazenby.
Right.
But are we trying to compare to...
And also, you guys didn't give props to Kevin Conroy, who voiced him on Batman, the animated series.
And in my opinion, the best performance of the character across the board, but we're not talking about the animation.
Right.
Unfortunately, I don't know anything about that. All right.
Kevin... Christian Bale,
Adam West.
Those are my only two choices.
Best of all time.
I can't go the Ooh. Obvious or the truth, which is Michael Keaton.
Wow.
Whoa.
Kevin Smith going off the board.
You wow.
look at that.
Michael Keaton still hands down. And look, I loved Christian Bale's performance, but to me, Michael Keaton really nailed Bruce Wayne. He didn't look like Bruce Wayne in terms of have the physical. Physicality, the imposing, you know, stature
right.
of a Bruce Wayne / Batman, but you know, the suit took care of it. Right. Suit that I would have, the suit that even I would have looked muscular in.
Kevin, what about Keaton's performance nailed it for you? What did he do differently?
You need to look no further than there's a moment. It's like a 3-second moment, throwaway moment in Batman Returns, the second Tim Burton Batman movie. Mm-hmm. When he's in the sewers driving the bat skiff to confront the Penguin
right.
in his underground lair.
Yeah. Right.
Two penguins emerge from the water with missiles on their back.
Mm-hmm.
They launch at him. Batman does a quick left or right, and the skiff kind of does a round
right.
on the tunnel. And the missiles completely miss the bat skiff.
Right.
As the skiff rights itself, there's a kind of a medium close-up on Keaton as Batman. And he does the most subtle look back. Like, doesn't turn his head or anything. Like, can't because that outfit was kind of
sure.
tough to maneuver in. But he gives this subtle look back with his eyes and doesn't give this overt expression, but the subtle look back in his eyes that says, I can't believe this is my life. I was almost killed by two missile-toting penguins.
It sounds like you've spent some time in slow-mo there, Kevin.
That is a fantastic moment that defines that character. And also, you know, you go to the first Batman movie, the first Tim Burton one, when he's playing Bruce Wayne at the opening party. You know, there's the opening scene, of course, where he has the muggers on the roof, and
right.
he says,
right.
I'm Batman, and jumps off the roof. Then there's the party, the benefit... charity benefit at Wayne Manor,
mm-hmm.
and his performance as Bruce Wayne I thought was fantastic because he's just so not in touch with everyone else. He's so uncomfortable in the Bruce Wayne persona. He just he's a, you can tell at the party he's a dude that's just longing to be dressed in the Batman suit because that's who he is. You know,
so you're saying we go to the right guy.
Adam West, Christian Bale, not either of them. Number one,
going for Keaton.
Michael I go with Keaton, but I mean, again, it's all minor degrees of separation. It's not like you know Michael Keaton is miles above everyone else. To me, he's the best, but I don't think any of them have turned in a bad performance. However, I will say for the record that back in 88 when they started shooting the movie, since Tim Burton was directing, I thought the alumnus that he would choose from one of his previous movies, he went with Michael Keaton from Beetlejuice. I always thought Alec Baldwin, circa 88, would have been the perfect Batman Bruce Wayne.
He was pretty studly.
Interesting.
I mean, it was. They tested the theory later on when he starred in The Shadow, which, as we all know, is kind of similar. Lamont right. Cranston, The Shadow.
Right.
But, you know, it's not the script wasn't quite the same. But I always thought he would have been a great choice, his delivery.
All right.
Once again, the man gives us way more than we possibly even knew we needed, and we liked it.
And for all your Batman needs for this holiday season,
yes.
Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash on Pico Boulevard, right here in very own Los Angeles, in the heart of Laser Blazer, the best DVD store on the planet.
There you go.
If you want comic books, you want Batman, anything, that's the place to go. You want, and you can buy a DVD while you're there.
Where are you today, The Decider?
I was in Pittsburgh until last night. We're in pre-production on Zach and Miri Make a Porno. But I came home for a friend of mine, Brian Lynch, getting married, and so I came home for his wedding.
Well, and by the way, the announcement finally made that Seth Rogen will be starring in that for
that's
you.
Right. Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks. Says, yeah, we got lucky, man. It's huge for us.
How hot is
that's
Elizabeth awesome. Banks, by the way?
She's great.
She's
fantastic.
She's so hot and so talented.
You need to hit that, Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm married.
Me?
Whatever.
I hit nothing except my fist and my wife.
All right. Those just joining us, you've been hanging on the edge of your chair. Is it Adam West or is it Christian Bale? The answer, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Keaton. He is the decider. And once again, he comes through. Thank you, Kevin. Happy holidays to you, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man. Assistant producer Alex, the super whore, has joined us in the studio. Good morning, Alex.
Hi. Good morning.
You have been the firewall of the Kevin and Bean show for many years now. You are hard at work keeping, as hard as this is to believe from people who listen to the show, keeping things that are even worse from making it to the air.
Well, apparently my veto on your friend's voicemail was not strong enough.
Well, it's time for bad pitches.
Bad, 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 bad. Pitches for you.
Are you just trying to waste our time with your bad celebrity expert, spokesman, or public relations pitch?
Bad, 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 bad pitches for you.
Silly waste of time, dumb pitch.
Damn it.
See? You know what's odd is that we get these emails all the time from different PR companies and stuff like that, and you read it and you go, really? I mean, I want to talk to these people and say, how many yes votes did you get on this anywhere in the world?
Look, it's not their fault. They have
horrible.
Crappy clients.
It's not.
It's
not
like a record label trying to pump a crappy band.
Oh.
Yeah, you know.
You do feel bad for them, though, if that's their job, is if somebody's, and I don't know which pitches you have for us today, but somebody's written a book about, you know, healthy snacks to eat while you watch football or something. So they're trying to get interviews around the Super Bowl, and nobody wants to talk to that person. But you feel bad that that's their job.
I have something better than that, Bean. I have bird songs from around the world.
Bird songs?
Yep, featuring songs of 200 birds from the Cornell Lab.
Wait a minute.
Dude, it's a follow-up to last year's bestseller, Bird Songs, North American Birds in Song.
Is this a CD?
Yeah. Oprah Magazine says it's sweet music for serious birders. Oh,
what? Dear God,
please
really?
Please dine if I know their audience.
So we can have the guy on, and we can play little snippets of birds, and he can tell us why they're cool?
Yeah, we can talk to Les Beletsky, a great gift for all occasions.
I'm going with no on that one.
A great gift. Now
for
I know what to
birders,
do for
birders, by the way.
Hey, guys, what are you going to do for Leap Day?
Leap Day. Okay.
Are you going to celebrate the year of the frog at your local zoo or aquarium?
You know it. Kevin and Bean party machine, year of the frog.
With the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, they're holding fun events and programs to educate people about amphibian conservation. You can investigate salamander habitats.
I believe we already heard.
All right, fine. How about the Gay Uncle's Guide to Parenting?
Wait a minute.
Hold on a second.
Gay Uncle's
Let's
Guide.
Let's not buzz too quickly on this one. Tell us parenting.
Look, apparently, you know, gay people have been telling hetero people how to dress, eat, and live with, like, Tim Gunn, the Fab Five. So why wouldn't they tell us straight people how to parent? Come on, breeders. Read about the sassy, funny, in-your-face guide. What?
The Gay Uncle's Guide to Parent. Can I buzz it now, B?
Well, no, no, wait.
Yes, because- now you can. No, yes,
wait,
we've heard it now.
Because right. We can hear why. We can finally admit that babies usually smell funny. Accept it and move on.
Come on with
that's
that.
That's a chapter.
Why would they? Who are these people?
Okay, this one actually comes from a listener.
Okay.
Nick Heinley? Henkel. I can't tell. It's weird. Okay, but he's got a new product called the Fish and Flush.
The
oh,
fish
I like
and
the
flush.
Fish and Flush.
What?
I knew, damn it, Lisa.
What,
I knew
what
you
is
would.
It?
It's a whimsical pot.
First of all, don't use the word whimsical ever. Ever. That's never good.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I was looking at the picture while whimsical I was trying to read it.
Come on. Come on.
It's a whimsical flush. Potty that turns your toilet into a nautical wonderland.
What?
It's an aquarium the instead tank. Of a tank.
Instead of a tank, it's Lisa. An aquarium. So you can pee and feed your fish.
Lisa, you realize you're acting excited
no,
about this.
I thought this would be funny to talk to this guy.
Because it's bad, you,
know what?
You mean.
Yeah. Lisa, I heard you have a new blog, and you can talk about musicals and the Fish and Flush on your blog.
I can't believe Bean wasn't
so,
all over this.
When you flush, you feed the fish?
Yeah,
is that where it goes?
It's a safe,
no.
fish-friendly aquarium for your bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the water. It's the tank behind the toilet,
yeah.
And it's completely separate, not at all related to...
But that's where
to,
the water comes from.
There are live animals behind you while
you
pee.
So you get one flush, and then they're gone.
I don't know.
You need to get another fish.
Maybe that's how it works.
Thank you. All right. Okay. Very timely, like, you know, Ralph's love of Eddie Money. Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, what's he doing?
God.
To come on the show with his guitar and
kill
talk
me.
About his new book, Puff the Magic Dragon.
No.
Kill
oh,
me.
Wow.
So bad.
Kill me.
Send that one down to K-Earth or something, I think.
Now, this is my last one, and I have a feeling Mike might want to vote yes on this.
Then
so
I'm voting
scared.
No. I'm voting no, sight
but,
unseen.
But there's a new website called MyDamnChannel.com, and they have a new TV show called... Cooking with Coolio.
I'm sorry. Did you say Cooking with Coolio?
Yeah. The Gangster's Paradise rapper has a new show, Cooking with Coolio. The ghetto witch doctor superstar chef is here to make you forget about every cooking show you've ever seen.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
This is a guy who used to have number one records, and now he's not only doing a cooking show, but it's not even on television. It's on the internet.
Yes, it's on the internet. You can watch it on the internet. Apparently the residuals from Gangster's Paradise are not enough, so he's got to cook shrimp online for you to watch.
Does that give you street cred? I'm not down with the rappers today. Is that what you need for street cred? Is your own cooking show?
I don't know, but no, it's cook-in, apostrophe.
Cook-in.
Cook-in.
That makes all the difference.
Because he's,
guys, you may have buzzed too quickly. I may want to vote yes on talking to Coolio. Come on.
Can't have a party without Coolio.
Yo, what's
Coolio.
Up? It's Coolio with the flow of the neighborhood. Get a witch doctor superhero down to go toe-to-toe with any Hank, Frank, and Joe straight from the 4-0. T-H-E-V-Z, Foley Thieves in the house. Mass Circle for life, baby.
Okay,
ladies
thanks, and gentlemen, Coolio. Thanks for coming by.
Right, yeah.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52 in the a.m. This is Ralph Garman here presenting the best of Kevin and Bean. As we do once the boys go on vacation for the holidays. Kevin's up there in the North Pole building toys for boys and girls, and Bean's also doing something with a pole, but I can't remember exactly what it is. Lisa May's in the studio. Psycho Mike is with me. Still bringing you the best showbiz news available anywhere.
Really?
On anywhere. FM radio. Really? On this particular station at this particular time.
In Culver City area.
In Culver City area. It's the best of Kevin and Bean. We'll be doing it tomorrow as well throughout the rest of the holidays for your holiday enjoyment. In the meanwhile, let's talk about what's going on with people who are much more rich and much more famous than any of us. One of those guys is Guy Ritchie. He is much richer than we are, that's for sure. He gets a little richier. He's going to have a very happy Christmas. His ex-wife, Madonna, is leaving a $76 million present under his tree. The couple's divorce settlement is finalized, and he will be getting $76 million.
Wow.
If you add that to his property assets, he's walking away from their marriage with a total of $92 million in assets.
My God.
Spectacular. That's almost worth it to be married to Madonna, is to get that kind of payoff. When
how long were they married?
7 years, I think. Look.
But he had money.
Yeah,
already,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
He was successful. I mean, he wasn't ridiculous like that.
No. He's not $76 million
no.
successful at all.
No.
But for 7 years, would you marry Madonna for 7 years if you could walk away with $92 million in assets?
And you got to figure he wasn't around for the last year.
Yeah.
to release six.
She was on tour most of the time the past year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I would too.
It's just so rough, like, the idea of being so emasculated by someone else, because she is not only physically imposing, but so domineering, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Look, I've been doing this job for 10 years. Talk about emasculated. I'm not walking away with nearly that kind of golden parachute. You know what I'm saying? Hayden Panettiere! She's in the Christmas spirit. OK Magazine reports that she recently went to the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, picked out five lucky ladies, girl patients who were staying there at the hospital, and took them on a shopping spree. Anything they wanted. Hayden tried to throw in her own opinion about clothing and what the girls were choosing, but the girls have their own sense of style and decided to get the clothes that they liked. But she picked up the tab for five lucky patients from Children's Hospital of Los Angeles.
That is very nice.
She's saving dolphins and babies and children.
Yeah.
She's the best, this Hayden Panettiere. The girls apparently had very serious illnesses, aneurysms, strokes, paralysis, sickle cell anemia. But they enjoyed their trip with Hayden Panettiere. So.
Very nice.
Good gal. Nice man.
Nice
man. This is my favorite story of the day. Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens shopping for sex toys in an adult boutique here in Los Angeles over the weekend.
Oh.
The couple was spotted roaming the aisles of a sex boutique and ran to a couple fans. Stopped and posed for pictures with those fans. Here, Zach, could you hold this dildo for me while I take a picture?
I was just thinking.
Vanessa, here's a drum of lube. Can you hold this? Can you autograph the drum of lube to my biggest fan, Earl?
If you didn't want to get caught, that would really suck.
Well, most people, when they're in a sex boutique, don't exactly want to stop and have conversations.
I know. I guess you just make the best of it.
Exactly. Look at me. I'm straight. Look at me. I'm looking at sex toys with a woman. Look at me.
Look at this butt plug.
Look at me. I'm so straight. No, it isn't straight.
Who?
Lindsay Lohan.
No.
But apparently she isn't the only hot lesbian in Hollywood these days. Fox News is reporting that Aubrey O'Day of the girl group Danity Kane has come out of the closet. Friends of Aubrey say that she brought her girlfriend to a big Hollywood party last Wednesday night. It was their first sort of out event. But she's now quite out and proud and is not hiding the fact that she loves the ladies. Good for you, Aubrey O'Day.
Sure. Why not?
I'm all for hot lesbians. It's the other ones. And don't believe the rumors that Leighton Meester of Gossip Girl is going to be getting married anytime soon. Internet rumors were swirling over the weekend that she got engaged to her boyfriend, Sebastian Stan. What is it with the names of these people over there, Gossip Girl? But his rep tells Access Hollywood there are no plans in the immediate future for the couple to tie the knot. So apparently Sebastian Stan and Leighton Meester are just dating. So
she's
everyone can relax.
She's the chronic. She's top notch.
Leighton Meester?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with Leighton Meester.
She's way good.
Yeah?
She's way hot, and her dad was like a drug trafficker. I'm not kidding. For the first like half of her life, she didn't know her dad because he was in jail for shuttling yayo into the country.
Yes, Leighton Meester's dad used to be a drug mule, and he used to hide the drugs in his butt, I heard. And they used to call him Keister Meester.
Jeez.
Oh, we're just doing the show for ourselves. That's all that matters. Oh, I'm going to wet my pants. Jeff Bridges is going to do a sequel to the classic Walt Disney 1982 film Tron. I could not be happier. I loved me some Tron. Apparently, the film will take... The sequel will take the same tact as the first film, but a hacker is abducted into a world of computers and has to battle his way out. But, of course, as you can imagine, the special effects now will be state-of-the-art. The other good reason to go see this film, Olivia Wilde.
Oh, is she in it? Oh, wow.
We'll be playing the female lead in the film. It's not going to come out until 2011, but I'm getting excited now because it's Olivia Wilde and it's Tron. And Jeff Bridges is going to return, too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Flynn, I think he was in the original.
I don't remember
my Tron trivia correctly.
But that's definitely a good flick. That'll be cool.
Olivia Wilde. You see her and the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers on House the last week, making out, going at it with each other?
Haven't seen that episode.
Omar
yet.
Epps?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's a little
love connection there on House.
You know, and good for him. He's a handsome dude, looked great. Nothing in comparison to about three episodes ago when she went in that wild, drugged out lesbian romp.
Yeah.
Oh.
She was bringing women home left and right. All drugged out, doing lesbian stuff. Doesn't Omar Epps know exactly like the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah.
Mike Tomlinson. Today's celebrity birthdays, NYPD creator
excuse me, NYPD Blue creator Stephen Bosco.
No, he created the NYPD.
I don't think he created the whole police department. He is 65 years old today. Actor Benjamin Bratt from Law & Order and his new series The Cleaner over there on TNT. He is 45 years old today. Michael McCrary of Boys 2 Men is 37. And Anna Popplewell. We've been celebrating her birthday all day. Someone wrote me and said she's hot. So there you go, Anna Popplewell. She's in the Chronicles of Narnia movies.
What?
She is 20 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. Please join us tomorrow again for the best of Kevin and Bean. And we'll also be here bringing you the latest in traffic and news and entertainment.
Okay.
It got real quiet. I don't want to play that song anymore. Well, I haven't really said the sign-off. Usually I have to say the sign-off.
You did, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz.
I didn't say that yet.
No,
I haven't.
He said, I'm Ralph Garman.
Just inviting people
to
join us tomorrow.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Stick around. More K-Rock music coming up next. It's 9 o'clock here. The world famous K-Rock. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.